Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and I am from the Business Day and Financial Mail. Now, one of the issues that has popped up quite a bit on our show over the last few weeks has been the coronavirus. Over the last few weeks as well, there's been a lot of company policies, a lot of debates just around what does this mean. We've seen a lot of businesses closing down. People self-quarantining, if that's a word. You have people that are staying at home, working from home. I've even heard of companies that have travel bans at the moment. So we're actually asking the questions, are there any legal obligations or what should employers do at this time and what are they obligated to do at this time? And to help us unpack some of the issues, we're joined by Liesel Lo, who joins us from Weber Wenzel. She specializes in employment law. Liesel, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Mudiwa?
No, I'm all right. Now, I can imagine that the coronavirus is something new. It's fresh. Like 2 months ago, we didn't even know that there was such a thing. And I'm also guessing that there is no legislation that has anything to do with this thing. So what type of guidelines are corporates or employers, government organizations, what do they have, you know, when it comes to actually knowing how to deal with this thing? Like when it comes to should people be staying at home, what policies in place and the like? Yeah.
Yes, it is very new.
Yeah.
And there are no specific legislation or policies dealing with COVID-19. So we have to go back to the general obligations of employers in the workplace with regards to health and safety of its employees. All workplaces in South Africa, except mines, are regulated by the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which places a general duty on employers to provide a working environment which is safe and without risk to employees' health.
Yeah.
With regard to mines, there is a similar obligation, but it's contained in the Mine Health and Safety Act. So that's the starting point for employers. And then, of course, we can talk a little bit about what policies they have that they would have to go and visit and look at with regards to what leave do they impose, if any, do they create special types of leave, and then possibly to develop rules now with regards to travel and quarantine, which they did not have to have before.
Mm. I think, with all of that stuff being said, I want to start with the testing, right?
Yes.
Because you have more than 100,000 cases around the world. And I think the last number I heard was that there had been about 3,600 deaths.
Yes.
Or so around the world, 7 known cases in South Africa. Are employers allowed to force the employees to test if they suspect, for example, with this Italian case that's, you know, ended up with the 7 people this past week, could any one of those employers have forced one of those people to say, didn't you just come from Italy? Right. I suggest you get some testing. Is that something that they'd be allowed to do?
The short answer is yes.
Oh, okay.
And why I say yes is that medical testing, which of course testing for COVID-19 is regulated in South Africa by the Employment Equity Act.
Yeah.
And the Employment Equity Act in Section 7 says that medical testing is prohibited unless, one, there's legislation that permits the testing, which
yeah.
we know there isn't, or two, it's justifiable in light of a few factors.
Hmm.
And those factors are, is it justifiable, one, in light of medical facts,
yeah.
two, employment conditions, three, social policy, four, the fair distribution of benefits, or five, inherent requirements of the job.
Mm.
Now, if you just look at that, if you look at the first one, is it justified in light of medical facts? I would say definitely.
Yeah.
What we know about COVID-19 absolutely justifies such testing. Employment conditions, especially if it is like you have here in your newsroom, the bullpen, or where it's labor-intensive environment, mm-hmm. mining, manufacturing, and so forth. Or even if travel to work is when you are in confined spaces with a lot of people, how train, public transport, that type of thing. Social policy, I think there's no doubt that social policy dictates testing to safeguard people around you who work and live around you. So the answer is yes.
Okay, because I can already see you went through it point by point, so it's definitely satisfying the different points there. The other one that I've, you know, found quite interesting is the fact that corporates are also have also told their employees to stay at home. All right. It's even in South Africa, some corporates are even limiting travel, you know, between, let's say, Joburg and Cape Town. Is that perhaps going a bit too far, or, you know, or I guess from a legal point of view, would you advise a corporate or an organization to, I guess, protect themselves by all means?
Being an attorney, I would obviously always advise on the most risk adverse approach.
Okay.
So
stay at home.
Yes, stay at home. I think the danger is there on is the means of travel. You have to go through airports, where you never know who's at airports. People travel. You don't know which countries they've been at, where they're going to, who they've been in contact with. So the risk adverse approach is probably the safest approach at the moment. And you never know, something positive might come out of it. You know, people who've always been opposed to meetings via Skype and VC or telecon can actually now see how easy it is, and maybe that become a practice going forward.
So what trends have you seen, I guess, because I've just been mentioning the ones that I've just heard, but in your experience over the last couple of weeks, is this really something that I guess organizations are really concerned about that much, or is this still in a sort of wait and see what happens sort of phase?
But you know, the reactions have been actually quite all over the show. There's a lot of corporate South Africa has certainly taken this seriously, especially with regards to testing, travel bans, quarantine, working from home, that type of thing. But there's also a lot of businesses, big and small in South Africa, who've done nothing. And who've taken the wait and see approach. So the reactions are very, very varied at the moment. If you ask about trends that we have seen, I think the first, the two trends that have definitely been prevalent is the travel bans or restricted travel, and of course implementation of measures to work from home.
Now we've sort of angled a lot of the discussion so far around, you know, the responsibility of, you know, the employer. Are there any things that employees can do? Like, can they, I guess, as a group band and say, hey, employer or organization, please, can you guys institute a travel ban? We don't feel comfortable actually going out and, you know, meeting clients, etc. Are there any type of responsibilities or any rights that employees have at this time?
Yes. Employees have the right to a safe and healthy working place.
Yeah.
So at any stage, if an employee or a group of employees feel that their workplace is not safe or healthy, they may actually refuse to attend at work. Now, there's all kinds of questions. Is that self-quarantine? If it is self-quarantine, what type of leave, if any, is imposed?
Yeah.
Or is that just plainly a refusal to attend work, which is unreasonable?
Yeah.
So my suggestion would be that every set of facts be investigated and dealt with on its own merits. With regards to self-quarantine, you know, there's a few options. Some employers may be able to afford it, and it may be practicable for them to impose a special type of leave, which is paid leave.
Yeah.
Not many employers will be able to afford that. Or employers can say, if you self-quarantine employee, you'll have to take annual leave. Now, that, of course, will not work, because why would an employee then self-quarantine if their annual leave is being eaten into, or even declare that they're coughing or have been in contact? You would think it's a responsible thing to do, but I think a lot of people out there will probably not do it. And then,
people
of course,
are very sensitive about their leave.
Of course. We all need it. And then, of course, there's the option of if you can work from home.
Yeah.
But, you know, the vast majority of South Africans can't. You can't wait a table from home.
Yeah.
Or that type of thing. So these questions become very, very relevant.
And then can employees refuse certain actions from an employer? Because let's say, for example, an employer institutes mandatory testing. And you said earlier on that, you know, at this time, employers are well within their rights to, you know, institute that type of testing. But if I say, no, I do not want to be tested for this thing, am I within my rights to say that?
Modiwa, because the testing in this scenario would be justifiable, a refusal by an employee to obey that instruction or to comply with that instruction to be medically tested would amount to an unreasonable refusal of an instruction at work. You know, then all kinds of consequences come with regards to discipline, misconduct, what the employer's rights are, and then we're in dispute mode. Yeah. So an interesting question came up just this week. An employer asked, and this employer provides accommodation to their employees, and they had about 1,500 employees coming back from annual leave on Monday. And they implemented compulsory testing. And the question was, what if employees refuse to be tested? What can we do? And the legal answer to that is that they shouldn't be granted access to the workplace or to the accommodation because it's a reasonable instruction in the circumstances.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Because now when the moment you said 1,500, mm-hmm. I was not thinking of those companies, maybe mines, for example. Mm-hmm. You mentioned mines a lot at the start. Mines that perhaps have like dormitories or something like that.
That's exactly the example I was referring to, yes. And this company actually, if the employees would test positive for symptoms of COVID-19, they would take them out of their usual dormitory and place them in a quarantined dormitory.
Ah.
So there is an alternative accommodation available. And I think that makes the refusal to be tested even a bit more unreasonable.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you touched on it a little bit and we agreed that, you know, leave is a sensitive thing. And, you know, how does the leave question, I guess, what's the best way to address it? Because it really sounds like this working from home thing is the best thing. But as you rightly pointed out, a lot of people can't or don't have that luxury. So what's an employer to do? Like, do you just shut down and just suspend mm-hmm. services and I guess suspend pay as a whole? Or do you, I guess, work out some other arrangement?
There's a few scenarios that can happen here. The first scenario is if an employer imposes a precautionary quarantine. So now it is the employer saying to the employee, do not come to work, do not render your services. And the employee is saying, but I'm here, I'm tendering my services, I'm willing to work. What does an employer then do? Obviously, if that absence can be covered by a sick note or a medical certificate, a sick leave policy will apply.
Yeah.
If not, an employer can consider special paid leave. That's not always practical or affordable for many employers. Or then there's the work from home. I would suggest that I'll discuss the other two scenarios now, but as a starting point, employers should please look at their leave provisions on what they can do and what they cannot do, provided, of course, that they comply with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act.
Mm.
So, yeah, first scenario to get back to that is employer-imposed quarantine. The second scenario is self-quarantine, when an employee says, I want to stay at home, I want to self-quarantine as a precaution. One, of course, is work from home. No leave award is necessary. Second, of course, as well, if it can be covered by a medical certificate, your sick leave policy will apply. If not, there's always the option of annual leave or the special paid leave.
Hmm.
And a third scenario that I think we all hope we never get to is where the government actually shuts down an employer because of the risk of health and safety. And the Department of Health is within its legal rights to do so. In terms of the National Health Act, they may do so. And then, of course, the employer and the employee is caught in the middle of a decision that is made not by them. Then, of course, it's different questions that need to be asked. Is it then unpaid leave because it's no work, no pay, no business is being generated? Can we afford that? Is that sick leave or is that annual leave? Hopefully, we never get there.
Okay. Now, on a last point, because COVID-19 has mainly affected other parts of the world. For us, it's still relatively new, 7 cases, etc. What or which countries are you guys looking at? I don't know. Are there any best practices, or are you guys just looking and saying, oh, okay, fine, this is what people are doing in Europe or the States. Perhaps that might be something that we can advise clients. Or are you just, you know, sticking to, okay, this is what South African law is saying, and we'll just advise accordingly, according to what legislation says here?
For now, our advice pertains to South African legislation. And I think for now, that's realistic because it's not a pandemic in South Africa.
Yeah.
And hopefully it never is like in some of the other countries. So for now, I think prevention is the best medicine.
Yeah.
And our advice is centered around prevention, and also in terms of what our laws allow employers to do to prevent an outbreak or a spread.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting discussion. That was us with Lizo Low from Weber Wenzel, who is a specialist. She's a lawyer specializing in employment law. Just talking about what it means to have policies around COVID-19 or the coronavirus, especially given the fact that in other parts of the world, people aren't going to work and staying away from work. You know, just navigating that space, particularly around whether or not employers are allowed to implement mandatory testing. And she's saying that they do, and as an employee, if you choose not to obey, that might be seen as an unreasonable, I need the words, you said unreasonable,
it's a refusal to obey a reasonable instruction.
Yes, there That's we go. yeah, so, and then also just talking about travel guidelines, and then a lot of it just centering around what it means to have an employee-imposed quarantine versus an employee self-imposed quarantine. And, you know, just a discussion around, depending on which way things are structured, what and how does that affect leave, which is an important issue to everybody. So that's been it for today. Thank you so much, Lizo, for joining us for today. I learned a couple of things. For example, I can't refuse mandatory testing. Like, I didn't know that. I thought I was well within my rights, but no.
Only where it's justifiable.
Yes.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
The coronavirus continues to wreak havoc in South Africa and around the world. I think in South Africa, it's still something new, but a lot of employers are still just grappling with what does this thing actually mean. And having a discussion like the one we just had with Liesl sort of shows that even institutionally, from a policy-making point of view, you know, a lot of people are sort of in the dark, and you sort of have to rely on existing legislation just to say, okay, fine, is this justifiable? Does this present a social risk? You know, all of the issues that she was talking about. But at this point, I honestly don't think that that businesses are overreacting, because I've actually heard one of the banks has actually taken its staff out of because you'll see that banks in Joburg, for example, have multiple offices in different parts of the city. But I recently heard that one of the banks has actually moved staff from some of their outer offices to a more central location, just to ease up on travel, just ease up on the risk of people, you know, I guess, contracting the virus where they are. So you see companies actually, you know, making an effort. So it's good to see that companies are being proactive just around these issues. But the interesting debate that I'm waiting to just see how it unfolds is, if it ends up being an extended issue, is the whole leave thing. Right. If you're working from home, or if you're self-quarantining, etc., you know, how do you deal with that as an employer, and what type of cost burden does that put on your business as a whole? Because at the end of the day, business still needs to be done. But one type of business that I don't think will not be doing well at this point, and I don't know if they can even be instituting stay-at-home type of policies, is people like Uber Eats, Mr. Delivery, companies like that, because as people around the world, in other parts of the world, people have started relying more on those services. So in South Africa, if that does end up being the case, if you are running a Mr. D or an Uber Eats, do you tell your workers to stay at home? You know, simply because this is the one time that your business is going to be thriving, because people would rather not go at home. So do you sacrifice your people? Not really sacrifice your people, but you let your people still go out and, you know, perform their job where everyone else is staying at home, you know, for, I guess, the opportunity to, you know, gain a lot of profitability at a time when people decide to stay at home. So that's been it for today. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And then you remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.